Welcome to oneofus.show, where we take a look at people out there who are very passionate about something, because God knows we are. My biggest problem is I'm passionate about too many goddamn things.
What if you're passionate about passion? Does that count?
Then you create the show Red Shoe Diaries. So, with us today is our friend Caleb. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Caleb is, his passion is for, well, nostalgia, I suppose, would be the best way of saying it, but really nostalgia of the sort that comes of action figures, old school lunchboxes, video games, and you've taken it to a point that you are literally ready to open up your own museum.
Well, I've run out of room, so I guess it's about time.
I never thought about that. Like, for me, it's always like, okay, I guess I gotta get rid of this stuff. But this museum idea, I like that.
Yeah, and it gets to share it with the public also.
True. And I'm sure there's some kind of tax write-off thing that goes along with it.
Yeah, now, if I decide to go non-profit.
Now, Caleb, I got to ask you. We just went to visit your, you know, what will be your museum. Your house that's full of, packed with so many toys that I remember back from the 70s.
Oh, yeah. There was all these moments that, like, seeing these things, I'm like, I didn't even remember that I had that until just now seeing it. Oh my God, my uncle touched me.
Now, I know for me, I see these things and I get excited because I remember being a kid when they first came out, watching the commercials and always wishing my parents would buy them for me. But of course they wouldn't. But I had all these dreams about it. But that's so much, you know, the impetus of my nostalgia. I'm old. I was there. You're a young man. How does this for you?
Yeah, I mean, first off, how old are you, Caleb?
I'm 31.
Right? Okay, yeah, we're both in our mid-40s, and yeah. Like, this is what we grew up with. But yeah, I'm curious to know, how does one who's as young as you, who didn't grow up with any of this stuff, what caused that passion?
Like you having G.I. Joe and Thundercats, I get it.
Yeah, that's about my
age. And Star Wars is universal. I get it. But you got $6 Million Man. And Johnny West and things that you couldn't even possibly know about.
See, the problem was my mom was big into garage sales. So She bought us all the toys she could find.
Okay.
And that was a cheap way of buying toys back in the 80s.
Oh.
So we also got, you know, regular Star Wars, Thundercats, GoBots when she didn't want to buy us actual Transformers.
Right. Hey, you play with your GoBots and shut up.
Yeah.
Transformers. I think we're rich over here.
Yeah, so I had a $6 million man when I was little, and I had Johnny West, and I broke all of them. And then I had to rebuy them all on eBay in the past few years.
Huh.
Lord. Well, you know, I just read this the other day, the actual toy companies, whenever they release, like, retro things, like, oh, we're re-releasing this classic early figure, they don't save those themselves. They don't have a warehouse where they keep them. They get on eBay and they buy those figures themselves, and then they just make molds off of the figures. Well,
yeah,
they bought.
Imagine really?
I didn't
know
that.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, everything was so disposable back then.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there was no such thing as a collector's market, which is how those things became collectible.
I look at your collection, like I was saying, there's so much stuff I had and then sold at a yard sale at one point because I decided I needed the Empire Strikes Back Atari cartridge. You know, I had to get the money. My mom's like, "You can make it yourself somehow." I'm like, and she caught me out on the street trying to, like, give blowjobs, so that didn't work. But so I guess I had to sell my $6 million man collection and my Evel Knievel and my G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
Now, Caleb bought his stuff off eBay. Wouldn't it be funny if some of that over there is yours?
Could be.
I mean, it's unlikely because the stuff that I had was not, like, obscure. It was huge and everybody had it for a while, but It's certainly within the realm of possibility.
I'm sure I have thousands of little kids' toys. Hopefully their uncle didn't touch them too much.
So how old were you when you first decided that this wasn't just a casual thing, that you wanted to be a collector of this stuff?
I think I really started collecting when I was about 5, and I had this dream that I had all the Star Wars toys from that time, because that was like 1987.
Okay.
So after that, I just started, you know, hoarding all our toys that me and my brother didn't blow up with fireworks.
Uh-huh.
I did a bit of that myself.
Yeah. And it's just become an obsession over time. It went from toys to comic books to even arcade games now.
Yeah, we saw got like a garage filled with full stand-up arcade games of like Pole Position, and you got the sit-down Miss Pac-Man, and you got pinball games, all kinds of crazy stuff in there, as well as you have a wall that beats out, there's a local game store chain called Game Zone that's proud of their little miniature museum of like the history of like home console games, systems. And you put them to shame, quite frankly.
Oh, thank you.
easily put them to shame.
Matter of fact, that needs to go in the copy for the ad once the museum's open.
Yeah. You put everybody to shame?
Well, at least those guys. just target them. We put Game Zone to shame.
Let's take a second here and just talk about what that is, your goal. I know you want to actually open an actual museum called the Austin Toy Museum.
Right, and I just started a website called AustinToyMuseum.com, and I now have a Facebook I started last night for Austin Toy Museum, so everybody should get on there and like it. My overall goal is by 2015 to have a building, put all the toys in there, have displays, and allow people to come in and see them.
I think that would be amazing, because we had so much fun just looking through this stuff in your house, quite frankly.
Y'all kept on saying, you know, I had that, so maybe I should title the museum, I had that.
Yeah,
that'd be a great title for
it. That actually is a great title for it.
Okay, now, here's something I'm curious about, because we're talking about the things you've collected, you know, especially some great classics from the, you know, early 70s all the way through the 80s. What's your cutoff? Like, at what point do you say, okay, that's too new, I'm not going after that?
Any toy line that continued into the 90s, I'll collect. But anything past 90 that wasn't started
before that,
I don't collect.
Now, what's the reason for that? I mean, is that just like you got to stop somewhere type of thing? Or
it's kind of a room thing. You know, I didn't have enough room, so I decided I'd cut it off there. And also no foreign toys, but also just to kind of specify it only in the earlier generations, not current generations. Because any kid could see, like, a toy he has in his own house.
Sure.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Now kids hold on to things.
Because in 20 years, you're going to be like, damn it, why didn't I keep those toys?
Well, it is one of those things. I know when, like, I had the fever and I was collecting toys and the Simpsons toys came out. And I had to, like, will myself to say, no, 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 no. There's too many characters already. This is when the Simpsons was only on 10 years. There's too many characters, not going down that rabbit hole. And I'm just wondering, like, yeah, for you, is that kind of thing where you're like, if I open this up?
Yeah, I had to cut it off somewhere, and I figured the 90s was a good place, because that's when I stopped buying toys from my childhood, so works perfectly for me.
Yeah, like I said, you got to stop somewhere. But that being said, if you get this museum, and you have it's not a Kickstarter. What is the name of the site you're using?
Right now it's on a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe,
so
okay.
So if you search Austin Toy Museum on GoFundMe, you can find it through that.
You've got a GoFundMe to get this museum started. And you guys, seriously, this is like this place is going to be incredible. Like, you should put in money out there just so the next time you come to town for whatever, whether it's for our related site, Spill.com's festival, or if oneofus.net does its own festival or whatever, you're going to be glad you did because you get to go visit this museum. And it's
or
be
because Austin is a great destination for a vacation spot. And if you talk to anybody who's visited, they will tell you what I'm saying is true.
It is true.
And it gives you one more thing to do while you're here.
Well, it's another one of those, like, you know, we're really glad you came to visit. Please go around, see our attraction, spend some money, and then go home.
And then go home.
Yeah. And there's rewards for donating, too. People can get advanced tickets. They can come in and see extra shows, and they can even get their name on the donor wall.
Right on.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a big enough thing, and it very well could be from the collection you have, which is it really is incredibly impressive, the collection you have. I mean, you could even attract, like, current toy makers to town for signings and stuff like that, or what have you, you know?
Yeah. Like, get some of the earlier guys who created G.I. Joe to come.
I could certainly see you forming a partnership with some of the local comic book stores as well.
That's true. I've already talked to Anna's Toy Depot, and she's become one of our sponsors.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I should introduce you to the guy who owns Austin Books. I know him very well, and I'm sure that he would actually be very interested.
Oh, yeah, you and Brad. Yeah.
You guys would
We should bring Brad over to see what he has.
Yeah, Brad would like you and your collection quite a bit.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
He might just pull out his checkbook and go like, all right, how much for the whole thing?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Knowing Brad, he very well might.
Also, it'd be good for you to go to, you know, I mean, I don't know. I was going to say local shows. We only have Staple for the most part. I mean, and yeah, I guess there's Wizard World Comic Con, but like something like Staple where you could go. I don't know if you need a table so much.
Well, we might be able to talk Chris Nicholas into donating a table space for him.
True.
Just because it is a charity thing that benefits all the geeks of Austin.
Right.
A museum like that.
And the museum, part of the proceeds will go to support autism research because I'm an autism specialist.
That's right. That's right.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, it seems, you know, I mean, like, autistic kids like toys. So.
Oh, they love them.
Yeah. I like toys. What you trying to say?
I'm saying everybody loves toys. Autistic kids especially love toys.
Oh, that's a stereotype.
Wait, you especially love toys?
Yeah, exactly.
We're all a little autistic.
We are. I guarantee you I'm a little autistic.
To say the least.
A Zildjian. I've eaten an Asperger or two in the past.
Did you really just do that?
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. It doesn't even contextually work as a pun. I'm sorry.
That doesn't offend me.
I'm a terrible person.
So, Caleb, do you have an eye on a building or a space yet?
Not yet, but if anybody wants to donate a building, I'll definitely take one.
You never know.
That's true.
I mean, to be fair, it might be way out E7th, but still. I mean, it is one of those things that would be fun to get the city of Austin interested because, for instance, our mayor is... apparently a big supporter of geek shit.
True.
Like I
was going to say. Yeah. And while he's still in office.
Kirk Watson, right?
No. Lee Leffingwell.
Lee Leffingwell. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know where I got Kirk Watson from.
I did not know.
And he made like National Austin's Green Lantern Day. And there's Alamo Drafthouse Day.
Yeah, there's Batman Day.
There's Batman Day. Yeah. In Austin, he's like, he does these events and like often in tandem with Austin Books or Dragon's Lair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a nerd too.
You never would, you know, it's one of those things. You never know. You might get that kind of groundswell support.
But you look at him, you go like, oh, he's some old redneck guy. It's like, no, he's totally into geek culture.
Yeah, as well you should be if you're mayor of Austin. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you have to be if you're
mayor of
Austin.
Be that or a music hipster, one or the other. And often they're both. So, all right. So tell us a little bit about your collection. Back to your collection again. What is your proudest thing that you have? What is that thing that you're just like, I can't believe I have this. I'm so happy that I have either the complete or the single item or whatever it is.
Like if the house caught on fire and right before you got the baby out, this would be the thing you'd grab.
Definitely my Amazing Fantasy 15.
Oh.
The first appearance of Spider-Man.
Oh, wait, you have... I'm sorry, I didn't show you.
No. It was behind that door. I also have X-Men number one. It was behind that door.
Yeah. X-Men number one. I mean, it's value and all. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but
Amazing Fantasy number 15?
I know.
Yeah.
That's like...
You're sitting on top of a gold mine.
Yeah.
You could fund that whole museum with just that thing.
That's true.
When Stan Lee comes here for Austin Wizard World, I'm going to have to crack it out of its CGC.
Oh, so. Man. He's just going to
sign?
He, you know, when he's after he's done signing it... He's going to ruin it. It won't even be in mint condition anymore.
He'll probably like.
I'm actually wondered. I've actually wondered about that for mint condition for books like that are that old and classic. Is it actually increase the value to crack it like that and get them to come out and like deface it? Or is it.
No. It would be worth more to have.
Would it definitely be worth more?
Yeah. As long as you get it certified. And I think they're certifying it at that show. Also.
Okay. Yo, I was saying, you might want to go to wherever he is because he ain't going to be with us much longer.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Well, that guy ain't going nowhere. Is there still a dollar to be made? Stan Lee's going to be there.
That's true.
I'm going to wait till I'm second in line with my flathead screwdriver. And then when he's ready to sign I'll crack the last signature.
Oh, yeah. You kill him right after he signs it, and then nobody else can get anymore.
Well, I could use a flathead for that, too.
Yeah, well, I've seen enough horror movies to know that works pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, right in the eye socket. There you go. Yeah. Well, we're not advocating the death of Stan Lee for collectibility
value.
No, I don't
want to be the man who killed Stan Lee.
That would probably not get you a lot of donations to the Austin Toy Museum.
I don't know. You notice there's a bunch of comic professionals and geeks who hate Stan Lee, so it could go either way.
DC, okay. Maybe.
Okay, now taking that easily recognizable valuable comic out of the running of the toys, what's your prize?
After that, the toys would be my prototype Lionel from Thundercats.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, and the little acrylic case.
Where it's like how'd you get your hands on that?
Like painted and everything. It was like the model they used.
Yeah, that was one of the casts that they made in resin before they painted it to make the like test shots of Lionel. They made little white. Almost looks like plaster, but it's resin cast. And I got that from a lady who worked at LJN back in the day, and she worked at the front desk or something. And she, like, hoarded all this stuff that they were throwing out. She had that, and she had some Indiana Jones prototypes and lots of, like, wrestling figure prototypes. And that was, like, the one thing I bought off.
Hey, you have a bunch of wrestling stuff up there, too, but you didn't get the prototypes.
No, I didn't want the...
So, all right, so that's, you're talking value, though. What do you just love? Like, what is the thing that, if it wasn't probably worth something, you would probably take to bed and sleep with it? Or maybe you do. I don't know.
Well, my favorite toy when I was little was definitely Optimus Prime, because I would carry that everywhere and, you know, have it off the side of my sofa. And then one time I was playing it with it off the side of my sofa and I fell off and cracked my chin open. So that's a cherished childhood memory.
Okay. He's your Woody.
Yeah, definitely. But mine had its legs broken off. So that is actually my original one, but I put new legs back on it.
You can make them better, faster, stronger.
Well, that's the thing now, Caleb. Now, you're not just a collector. You're also a fixer. You get some of these things broken, and you have a workshop where you're putting them back together.
Yeah, I was an art major at Texas State, so I'm pretty good at restoring a lot of them also.
Wow, how'd you end up working with autistic kids?
I was going to be a art teacher, and then the principal at the high school was like, hey, we have this job opening to be a autism social skills teacher. You want to do it? And I'm like, money? Sure.
Somewhere between artistic and autistic, there was some confusion.
Well, my friend used to always say I was autistic when I would talk about my art anyway. So.
But his friend wasn't able to pronounce R's, and so...
Yeah.
Oh, sure. It's like, you want to see some of my art? And then it's like, you know...
So R.
It's like Hieronymus Bosch, and we're like, okay, backing away slowly.
Here's my portfolio. Oh, you meant you were autistic. Oh, no, that's not exactly... Well, sure, I'll go with it.
Now, you also have, like I said, all those video game systems. Now, I mean, obviously, you didn't grow up with those. I mean, what was your system when you were growing up? What was your defining system?
My system was the NES. Before that, I always played the 2600 Atari at my friend's house. But we got the NES, like, Christmas 85 and just ran with it. Played Duck Hunt for, like... 5 years straight, and then Tetris and Dr. Mario. So I don't think that's our original Nintendo because I took it apart to see how it works. But yeah, I still plug it in and play it every now and again.
But you have like everything I've ever heard of, pretty much.
I know, right?
As far as those systems go, have you actually sat and played a lot of those systems and gotten the games for them?
I've pretty much played every game in that room.
What of the more obscure systems, discounting the classics like the NES and the Sony PlayStation?
ColecoVision.
Well, I would even count the ColecoVision. ColecoVision was big for me. You and I remember it, but nobody else remembers that shit.
Corey talks about it.
We played the Smurfs game, sure, and thought it was great.
Yeah. Until you couldn't jump over that one little bridge. And
I forgot about the bridge. My uncle touched me.
Well, my favorite systems would probably be the Bally Astrocade. It's a really obscure one that runs out for these tape cassettes. And then also the Vectrex.
Vectrex! Right. Yeah. I saw that there and I was like, oh, I wanted that so bad!
We'll have to plug it in and play it later.
Yeah, I never, ever got that. I never got a lot of the... You had so many systems. I was like, I'd always buy, like, the video game magazines, like Electric... I don't know what it was. I guess in my teenage years, it was Electronic Gaming Monthly, but before that, whatever there were that was out there, I don't even remember. Maybe it was that. I don't know.
They were like some cheat... and trips, tips books, stuff like that.
There was all kinds of stuff, but they were always telling me what the new systems were going to be, and I was always, oh, I want them all.
Yeah.
And thank God I didn't get them all because some of them sucked. What was the one with the Nintendo goggle one?
Oh, the Virtual Boy.
That was awful.
It was fun until you got a headache.
Yeah, that was why it was awful.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time headaches.
Now, wasn't that something with a power glove?
Oh, that was the Nintendo. The Power Glove was in there.
I actually saw a trailer for the new riff tracks of Starship Troopers that they're doing in theaters, and there's a Nintendo Power Glove joke in it. I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. The audience is like, anyone who's under the age of 30 is like, what is he talking about? Yeah, but why would you decide after, you know, I mean, you played the Charge 2600 for a while, played the NES. I mean, imagine you went forward from there and still played Sega and PlayStation and all that stuff. But what made you decide that you wanted to be retro as far as that goes as well?
Just exploring more of the game culture. Like, I got back into collecting NES games about the time the Dreamcast was out. And, I don't know, some of the more micro games are actually more fun than longer games to me because I have ADD and I can't pay attention for that long. But, and also just any of the old games really keep my interest because I can just switch them out.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, besides the game systems, you have a garage full of old stand-up video games.
Yeah, mostly the classic arcade games.
What's your favorite of those?
Definitely, I'd say Ms. Pac-Man, because mine has a speed-up chip, and I can just rush through everything and eat all the ghosts and get to, like, level 20, and then finally the ghost will kill me.
And I saw you have a pinball game as well. Are you into pinball, but they're too space-heavy?
Bulky.
Pinballs are kind of expensive to collect.
Yeah, they're back in vogue again right now in a big way.
And
thank God.
That one's really cool because you hit all the targets, put together this robot, and it flips over. It's called Genesis.
Right. Huh. I hadn't actually played that one, and I play a lot of pinball. I hadn't played that one. Do you go to the local pinball joint, Pinballs Arcade?
Yes, I do, but I don't play too many pinballs. More I play the ticket games for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I'm big into those.
I have to have once a month or so go down there and blow some quarters.
Yeah. But when I do open the museum, I hope to have like a video game day where I can plug in the old systems and have competitions.
That's an excellent idea. Another reason why this would be just awesome thing to have in Austin.
Yeah,
it's such an Austin thing to have. I can't imagine once the word gets out that this is something you want to do and people see your collection that they'll really want to support this, to be like backers behind this.
We need to have a paperboy competition.
Paperboy?
Yeah.
Wait, you have what do you have that on?
Oh, just on NES.
Oh, okay.
We can even do it with the Power Glove.
Somebody's going to get hurt. I'm just saying.
Smacked in the eye.
And you also build your own props and costumes as well. My God, what geeky do you not do professionally on a level that makes the rest of us look bad?
Oh, I don't know. I have ADD, so I do so much in such little time, and then I switch to something else.
I mean, I saw you had an Ewok mask, and you had a Admiral Ackbar mask that were so realistic-looking that I just assumed that they were the original props from the film.
Yeah, I thought we walked into a trap. I mean, and let's not forget that he's built his own R2-D2 that works.
Yeah, and last year at Austin Comic Con, I was MC Ackbar. So, it was a wrap.
I get it.
Of course you do.
I like this man, but he will fit right in. So is there anything you want to say as far as like in terms of going back to the action figures, stuff that you like that you felt like ruined the
action figure industry? Safety concerns, you know.
Oh yeah,
weakening the springs on anything.
You don't have the Boba Fett with the shooting.
That time
I know the guy who has that prototype though.
When the Micronauts first came out, they were like they were hardcore, and then there came that whole thing of some kid choked on one. Hey, Darwinism at work.
But then it
became like that. Okay, either the missiles can't fire. Okay, they can fire, but they only go a couple centimeters and they drop. Or we have to put giant red rubber balls on the end of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember having some Battlestar Galactica toys where there was one generation where they fired pretty hard, and then the next one where they wouldn't even come out at all. It's like you push the button and it'd make a click.
And if you're holding it up like upside down, it would fall out.
Yes.
Yeah, and also when they took out metal bodies of things, toys just felt so cheap after that.
Yeah.
And they're all plastic. Like, if you look at a toy today, it's just mostly, you know, cheap, really lightweight plastic and no small parts that anybody can choke on.
And they're ungodly expensive now.
Yeah. They are. Now, is there a line of stuff that you see today that is good? Like, I know a lot of people thought that Todd McFarlane's company kind of brought the passion back into making action figures and collecting them again.
Yeah, with the sculpts he had, the articulation not so much.
I know, right? They're awesome little statues,
yeah.
But it's action figures. There wasn't a lot of action going on.
True. Yeah, don't move it or the arm will break off. I had that zombie Spawn and I broke him the first day
because
I had to take him out of the package.
Yeah, I have medieval Spawn and he falls apart all the time.
I mean, I got the Samuel Jackson Shaft. And, I mean, you look at this thing, it's like, I know that if I stuck a pin in it somewhere, Samuel Jackson would go, what the fuck?
It's like a voodoo shaft? You have a shaft?
Oh, yeah.
Let's explain why he was in The Phantom Menace.
But you can't. He's got one pose, and even though he's supposed to move, he can't.
Yeah.
So is there good stuff that like that's out now that you'd say, okay, this is, I'm tempted to get it?
Not really. I worked at a KB Toys for like 3 years, and all the toys were kind of pathetic. It was right about when the second new Star Wars came out, so Attack of the Clones. And, you know, they still had nice accessories, but the toys basically had no articulation. They could move their waist and maybe one arm halfway around.
Now, have you not seen what the DC toys, the ones that are 12 inches, cloth costumes, they're like giant Mego toys, except great sculpts and lots of articulation.
No, I haven't.
They come with multiple hands and tons of props. And even like the next level of that is the stuff coming from Japan, the Hot Toys. You should check those out because they're amazing.
This is what this guy needs, is another thing to collect.
Remember, I have a cutoff.
With that being said, if you get this museum, all that stuff will be out of your house, then you'll have like whole empty rooms.
Yeah.
And you'll be
nature
like,
abhors a vacuum.
No, my wife will just point a gun at me.
Yeah, I think she wants this museum more than anybody else.
Yeah, you need a museum. Get that stuff out of my house.
Well, you seem to collect a lot of stuff. So you had a huge collection of geodes and rocks as well. And like, is there anything else that I'm missing here on the list?
No, I think you just about got it, except for coins and stamps and old postcards.
You have those things too?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, we didn't look in the backyard.
Oh, and vintage radios and World War II memorabilia.
Oh, so I almost got it all.
You almost got it all. Don't worry.
Just email me later if there's anything else you forgot to mention.
I'm sure there's something.
I was waiting for that wall of Smurfs. You ever knew? When I was growing up, there was always that person who would obsessively collect all the little Smurf figures.
Yeah.
And they would have like a whole room full of like the thousands of those damn things they put out.
See, that's my little shame, because I do have all the Smurfs and all the Care Bears and all the
I could have lived my whole life without like knowing that.
Yeah, I keep those in my bedroom and say they're my wife's collection.
Museum,
yeah, you gotta have the girl toys with the boy toys.
Exactly,
yeah.
You do.
So, yeah.
I think this is an excellent idea. I fully support you, and we're going to do our best to get the word out there.
Thank you.
About this. I'm so happy to see somebody else. So they got their passion. They work on it all the time. They want to share it with other people. They don't want to just say, it's my toys. You can't play with them.
Definitely. Right. And donating will help the museum to be owned by all of the Austin community. And even a dollar would help. So.
Right on.
Right on. Well, I want to see this happen.
Yeah, I do too. Super excited. You guys, check out, if you're listening to this on iTunes, make sure to go to the actual oneofus.net entry for this, because there's going to be video where you get to see a lot of his collection on there, a bunch of photographs.
It will blow you away.
Yeah, you're going to be like, I had that! I had that! Yeah. I wanted that! All right, one last question before we wrap this up. What's that holy grail that you never got as a toy that you're still
trying to get
for, still trying to get, still hoping that you're going to stumble across someday at the bottom of a old plastic crate at somebody's yard sale?
Oh, I do a lot of Goodwilling, and recently it was the Robotech playset from the 80s, but I had to buy that online for like $700.
Jeez.
Yeah, but there's still a few 80s playsets I don't have, and one of those is Bionic 6. The Bionic 6 playset.
Okay.
I don't even know what that one is.
They had metal bodies, so I love them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. High quality. They're not going to break as easily.
Right on. And you can throw them at your brother's head and give him a concussion.
My brother is dead.
At least I have quality toys.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb, and thanks so much.
Thanks
please
for
also
me.
Check the site. It's austintoycollector.com. Yeah.
It's Austin.
Or no, AustinToyMuseum.com. I'm sorry. AustinToyMuseum.com, where there are links to the Kickstarter-ish site that it's at. GoFundThis.
Yeah, it's a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
And you can search Austin Toy Museum on that. And there's also a Facebook, Austin Toy Museum.
Right on.
Right on.
Guys, this is something you want to be part of. Trust me, because there's nothing. We're all about oneofus.net. We're all about being passionate about this geeky stuff that you love, because God knows we are. Right. Thanks so much, Caleb. Thanks so much, Martin, for joining me on this one.
Oh, you betcha. Wouldn't have missed it.
Please tune in for future episodes of oneofus.show, as well as seeing Martin and I regularly on The Original Gentleman every other week, and myself and Brian Salisbury on Digital Noise. Thanks so much.